I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you at this time. And I'd like to start off by talking about something not from the Bible. How many of you have a favorite TV show? Or a series, you know, like that. Nancy and I have gotten hooked up on HGTV. And one of our favorites is the one with the Raineys. If you aren't watching, let me explain this. I mean, if you haven't watched that. The Raineys are a family from Alaska. And they spend time anywhere in the United States, and including Alaska and Hawaii, helping people who are on their homesteads. And they are having problems. What it amounts to, in my estimation, is that they jumped before they thought in deciding to go out into the wilderness and try to live off the land anymore, not being, you know, in the city anymore. Anyway, the show is called Homestead Rescue. Sometimes it's hilarious and sometimes it's pathetic and sad. Now, there is a point to this. We'll get to the sermon in just a second. There is one common denominator, if you want to call it that, that is the problem for nearly every one of these homestead rescues. I mean, yeah, sometimes they're out there and they've got wildlife. Sometimes they've got disease. Sometimes I think the latest one, it was raining like crazy and mud was 6 feet deep or something like that. You know, they were, well, maybe not that far. But anyway, the point is that they are helping them either build these nice, you know, places to raise vegetables or a garden or how to fix a pen for the goats or the whatever. But the one number one problem that they have is water. Getting water to drink. Water for the animals. Sometimes, I remember one particular show that the people were spending 3 hours going to fill up some water, big water containers. And they had to do that 4 and 5 times a week, which, of course, meant that they were not being able to work like they should on the homestead. And so what the Raineys generally wind up doing is they get some well company to come in and drill these people a well to hit good water. Water is absolutely essential. Without water, I don't care if you're in the midst of Hawaii, if you're out in the desert of Arizona, I'm thinking of actual times that these shows took place, or somewhere in the woods. You've got to have water. What does that have to do with our sermon? Well, essentially, this, dig your wells before it's too late. Only I'm not talking about homestead rescue. I'm not talking about the physical digging of a well. I'm talking about our spiritual need for spiritual water. I'm not used to quite. Bear with me a second, and I'll give you a time later on. Okay. This title just simply parallels or illustrates this important fact. You cannot wait until you have to have water, whether it be physical water or spiritual, as you'll see in a second. You can't wait until you absolutely have to have it to start digging. We read of a number of wells that were dug back in the Old Testament by Abraham. His enemies filled them in, and then his descendants had to go dig them out again. In Isaiah 12 and verse 3, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." But we're not doing a history lesson on the Old Testament, because I want to deal with the here and now for you and for me. You know, you could die of thirst before you could find water. You know, someone traveling lost in the desert and all this. You've got to prepare ahead of time before the need arises. And so this parallels the Christian life in ways that I hope you'll see that are very evident. Mankind needs to recognize that he has a spiritual thirst. And if we wait to dig our wells until, you know, we're needing it, guess what? We got a problem. We need to go ahead and plan for this. So just ask yourself this question. Are you digging your spiritual well? I know it just says well. But are you digging your spiritual well, or have you dug your spiritual well already? So maybe it'd help to be reminded of this. We always will need these wells of righteousness, because there is a judgment day coming. If we haven't dug our wells already, I speak to an audience that I trust are well supplied with water, at least I hope so, spiritual water. There's that judgment day coming. The passage there in Acts 17, verse 30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commends all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day." We don't know when that day is. And guess what? We need to be prepared for it, right? "A day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, and has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Because there's coming a time that we're going to stand before Christ. I don't think there is an intelligent person in this audience, and even some young ones, that can understand this point right here. And that is, we don't know when we're going to stand before God, as we say. We don't know when we're going to have to give an account. Is it going to be because we've lived 410 years of age? Of course, some of us are looking for 50 while we can. But then there is also this. I didn't mean to use it, but I think we're all aware of the 150-some-odd people that have died down in Miami when the collapse of that apartment tower. They're still searching for bodies. When those people went to bed, did they know that that tower was going to collapse? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body. Paul writes there in our passage in 2 Corinthians, according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. But you know, while that's a day of salvation for, we hope, us, for our relatives, in fact, for all that would, yet there's coming a time, as the Lord said, the King will say to those on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angel. It's going to be too late to begin digging those spiritual wells for spiritual water if we're spiritually thirsting when we have to stand before God on that day. And during the time of temptation, what do you mean times of temptation, Ron? Well, nearly every day of our life, somehow or another, Satan is busy. Satan is not lazy. He's trying to get us every bit of time, trying to devise something. But are we going to provide some sort of barrier that prevents him by the way that we live, by the way that we obey God's commands? We are to be sober, to be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he keeps throwing these little things out in front of us. Have you ever noticed on TV advertisements? There's not anything that someone's trying to sell you that says, now this is terribly bad for you and you shouldn't buy. They're going to present it in just that enticing way that make you, I've just got to have that. Our life has temptation thrown at us every day, it seems like, of our lives. Of course, because Satan is in there. Be sober, be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And there are fleshly desires. Each one's tempted, James wrote. When he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed, or as our Lord over in Mark said, far from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Does that sound like a list that we want to avoid? To paraphrase something I read one time, said, that's too much. Just thinking about it. And the fact is that while we as Christians, I think I speak to an audience that is happy that we are here right now, that there are people that make fun of temptation out in the world. Temptation should never be taken lightly, because eventually we become so hardened or so enamored by the pleasures of sin. But that's the deceit. Let's get back to water for a second. I trust that where maybe some of you ladies don't like it as much, but guys that like Western movies, you know, how many times have you seen this scenario where the hero's crawling along out in the desert and he's looking for water and they come to this water hole and it's got a poison sign in it? Things can be dressed up by Satan, and he can cause us to be so enamored by something that we fall away. And maybe, you know, we might fall away during a time of temptation. Like this, the passage here in Luke 8, I've looked at this for a while, but the ones on the rock, those who, when they hear, this is talking about the sower that went forth to sow, and he spread the seed, And those on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. I've seen places, lived in places, where it'd be real nice to have some green stuff growing. But there's no soil there. It's too rocky. So again, it comes down to these spiritual wells. Do we have these wells, the right kind of wells, spiritual wells, to quench our spiritual thirst when we're tempted? You know, everyone, I hope, recognizes that there are times of tribulation that we're all going to face. Not one time, not twice, but constantly. As one joker said one time, the best thing you can say about Satan is he's very busy. And that's not good for a Christian. The Lord told the apostles, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Let me go back to the water wells. Through Christ we have that. Paul also, the Apostle Paul, warned the disciples that they went through, this is on the first journey, first preaching tour. They preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, and they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the soul of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God." We must through many, we've got to fight through those tribulations. The trials and tribulations that we may face can be so diverse as we don't have enough time to really go through it in our time here. We only have an hour. But you know that it could be, and often is, something that we have to contemplate day by day and every day and all day. The reason why that these tribulations we face are some because just simply we are Christians. We're good people. That's our hope and our thought and our aim. That scripture to Timothy there, "Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." I think I heard a man one time say, Satan gets a little put out if we don't fall for his schemes. And if we don't fall for his schemes, then he just throws something hard at us. We've got to remember that we are God's children. These tribulations that we talk about, maybe because we share in the things that, it might be everything that comes in life. You know, why do we have sickness? I don't know. I know there's medical reasons why that we can have sickness and problems. I don't know that it's from Satan per se, or it's simply because of where we live, the time we live, or whatever. But one thing is sure, and I'm going back to it. we better have our wells dug in advance if we can survive the drought. And by drought, I'm not talking about actual drought. I'm talking about the times that we, as Christians, are tempted or else have adversity thrown at us. That brings us to another thing about the program, my Homestead Rescue. Sometimes they had to get someone to bring one of these. I think most people have seen pictures of them, maybe they ain't worked at it. A truck with a big old drill on the back of it. You know, drills down hundreds of feet. Then other times I've seen them when they get a well by getting, you might say, just as much as removing a rock in the hillside and water gushes out. We better have our wells lined up if we're going to survive spiritual drought. But how do we dig our wells? That's what is going to be important. And that is by taking advantage of what God has provided for us. He's provided the tools for us. He's provided the locations for us. Do I need to explain that? He has told us in a way, you know, we got to dig. His son was given as an atonement for sin. And in this, the love of God, as we read here in this passage, was manifested toward us, toward mankind. That God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. We might live through him. I suggest that's because we have the spiritual water, the spiritual well. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And by you know, the providing for this, he's provided to us a place. Guess what? Let's get back to the Homestead Rescue a second. How in the world do they know where to dig those silly wells? They never have really shown that on that show. I can't believe they just go out and say, clear out some brush, say, all right, dig here. I know there has to be something that they figured out, but that takes too much time in the show. We know where to dig for our spiritual wells. We know where to get the spiritual water. And this is the good news that brings salvation. As Paul writes there in that passage to the Colossians, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Or the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's part of our responsibility, but you know what? We've got to realize we, as I think the inspired apostle said, lest I myself should be a castaway, he proclaimed the gospel. We must respond to that gospel. That is digging that well for a spiritual well water. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard, this is the ones on the day of Pentecost, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Essentially, you know what Peter told them? you better go dig that well. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Respond. But you know what? Sometimes those wells have to be maintained. And that's what we've got to do, is maintain where we get that spiritual water. Remain faithful in our devotion, in our service. But responding to and becoming faithful to the gospel involves something else. We got to be prepared that there's someone that doesn't like that spiritual water. His providence is there to provide for us. Yeah, he won't allow us to be tempted above that we're able, as that passage there in 1 Corinthians 10 says, as you can plainly read. But we've got to be prepared, remembering what he's provided, and also that who's able to work all things for our good. Who is it? Our God. Our Savior. He's provided His Spirit so that we can overcome whenever that someone tries to take our spiritual water away, clog our wells, that He would grant to you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. So we have to realize what we must ourselves do. Wait a minute, I left something out here. You know what? This is not a one-time thing, is it? We must pray that we enter not into temptation. We must exhort one another, or as the Hebrew writer said, beware, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily as long as it's called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. What does the deceitfulness of sin do? It clogs our well. Remember I mentioned about Abraham's wells at the start? That the enemies, after he had gone, covered them up. Now, I have no idea how deep those wells were. I have no idea whether they had steps going deep into the earth or whether it was just a little bit removing a spadeful of dirt or what, but they clogged it up. And that's what Satan wants to do, is clog up our wells. We must not be hardened. But not only that, we must be willing, while we are alive and have time in this life, to be faithful to Him. We're not perfect. We can sin, can't we? But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we do when we acknowledge to God, I have not done what I should. Or confess to one another as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for one another that we can be healed. Confess what we have done. Oh, it's embarrassing, sure. I dare say that's why many times people, as we say, don't come forward. We're embarrassed. But that's nonetheless what God expects of us. If it's such a sin as What is the saying that we normally use? Bring reproach on the church. Well, it's also whether or not we want the help to keep our wells cleaned out. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So are we digging our wells by continuing steadfastly in prayer and fellowship with the family of God? You know, remember here what God has provided for us. Hope. He has not lied to us. He has told us where and how to dig our wells for that spiritual well-being. He has given us hope that we might endure. I'm going to let you read the passages. But this hope is an abounding hope. Now may the God of hope, Paul writes over in Romans, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we have that hope, there is a peace. It can only be offered by being in Christ. Sometimes we forget some of the things, I'm afraid, that are in the Scriptures. And this is the words of our Lord as recorded in the Gospel of John. Peace I leave with you. He's telling us where and how to keep our wells going. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that causes us to have a strength of mind. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. You know what I remember seeing on a couple of those homestead rescue shows whenever they were digging those wells? As they would go down through the dirt, they didn't let it just be a hole in the dirt. They put a pipe in there to keep that water coming up, to keep it safe. We've got to be willing to make it to where that wonderful blessing that we have as Christian, that we will be able to continue to have it. And the only place that we can have it is through Christ. It provides us with this patience, this long-suffering, this joy, all through His power. And we have one another. Sometimes, if we're traveling, or maybe have to move to a new place, as Christians, what is our hope? I hope that there is a good group of brethren there that I can associate with, encourage them, and be encouraged by them. We need brethren to comfort us. But we've got to realize that we must do what God has provided, with what God's provided. And He's told us that there is no place that we cannot have that well of spirituality. There's no physical place that we cannot have it. It may be with many Christians, maybe just a few Christians, or maybe only a few. But be they strong, and we can stay truthful. Let me continue hurriedly here. Our peace has got to be nurtured. Do we pray as we should? That keeps the spiritual water flowing. Do we protect it? It talks about the armor of God. If we are determined to do what God says, no matter what Satan may do, no matter what the world may try to do to us, they cannot take it away from us. We've got to build up one another. We've got to do this in our association. Do we long to come to services on the Lord's Day? Or let me ask you this. Do we enjoy seeing one another? Other than on Sunday and Wednesday night at this one place, at this building? Do we enjoy being with one another at any time? Well, we got to answer this question. Are we happy to be with brethren? Are you happy to be here? Was it a tough thing to get ready to come to services tonight? Did you think, well, I was there this morning, that ought to be good enough? Or could your heart just not stop with a thought, I get to be with brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so? In what conditions are these wells that every one of us as Christians has? Everyone. Do they keep your hope alive, your peace, your strength? And if you've paid close attention, you know, you've already noticed that the wells, really, for those that are Christians, they're there. They've been dug. They are the wells of salvation. Go back to Isaiah. And then that day thou shalt say, I will give thanks unto thee, O Jehovah, for though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For Jehovah, even Jehovah, is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water, where? Out of the wells of salvation.